This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on a few ahadith speaking about evil practices or major sins, whereby we mentioned that unfortunately some of us or some Muslims begin to justify their major sins, rather than acknowledging and accepting that they are committing a sin or sinful individuals, they begin to justify their sins. And this justification of sins leads to even eventually justifying the minor sins that we do, that there's no harm in carrying out these sins. A form of success, or the path of success, is an i'tiraf bi-dhanb, is to recognize one's sin, one's mistake. That is a path of success for the individual, no matter how much they may have erred inside their life. That's Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his famous book, Madarij al-Salikin, speaking about the steps of the travelers. He speaks in brief that those who commit sins, they bounce up many steps. If they never committed those sins or those mistakes, they would have remained on a lower platform. But because of their sins, or more so because recognizing that the one who forgives is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they go forward inside their lives. And as the ulama mentioned, لا كبيرة مع استغفار ولا صغيرة مع استمرار. There's no major sin مع استغفار. If a person makes tawbah, seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wipes out even major sins. مادام ما يموت على الكبائر. As long as a person doesn't die upon a major sin. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Twice inside Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentions, Allah forgives every sin. Every single sin. Except for shirk. And even shirk, only if you died upon shirk. But if you repented towards the end of your life, you'll be wiped out as well. So there's no kabira ma'a istighfar, wala saghira ma'a istimrar. And the opposite. There is no minor sin ma'a istimrar, bima'na you continuously, habitual practice, it's no longer a minor sin. Tusbih min al-kabair. That's what Fuqaha mentioned. Continuous habitual practice of a minor sin is classified in the Fuqaha, Islamic jurists, as being a major sin. Doesn't get wiped out. Because a person becomes habitual, thinks they're not doing anything wrong inside their life. There's no need to repent. There's no need to make tawbah. And that's what we mentioned, that this concept of not trying to recognize our sins, that eventually minor sins lead to major sins. So a person never repents, never seeks or asks for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we find that much of these sins that we mentioned could be concerning the menfolk, that they're the head of the homes and they make certain decisions to do certain things we mentioned previously about aklu riba, the devouring or the taking of riba, of interest, of usury. But sometimes there's also the pressure of women folk inside the home, that women may request their husband that I need a shelter, I need a home. If you have to take a loan, you have to take a mortgage, you have to take and enter into interest, then let it be so. Likewise, some of us may find it something trivial, but there's nothing trivial in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Halqul lihya haram. Shaving one's beard is haram. La yajuz qat'an. It's not allowed inside the sharia. All the fuqaha are unanimous regarding that. But it may sound strange to some of us. Many questions that we face as practitioners. My wife doesn't allow me to grow the beard. What should I do? Should I please her? لا طاعة المخلوق في معصية الخالق. Hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no obedience to anything of the creation if it entails the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qa'idah. Principle a person should live inside their life. Doesn't mean a person loses love and respect towards their family members. person tries to encourage and teach them. But this is what we find inside our society. That inside our own home, you find these pressures that they build up, that people begin to find these weaknesses. And the women folk should be more worried. They should be more worried, in all honesty, than the women folk. We find a hadith in Bukhari Muslim, أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِهَا النِّسَى. The majority of the inhabitants of the hellfire will be women. We find بِكُفْرِهِنَّ. Because of their, not because of their disbelief, their ingratitude. Because a person could take care of them day in and day out. But the woman would say, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَدْ. I never ever saw anything good from you in my entire life. These are not our words. These are words of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Who said that the majority of the inhabitants of the hellfire will be women. On Yawm al-Eid, he will call out to them, give the charity, spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we know, that charity extinguishes the fire. Because indeed I saw that the most of the inhabitants of the hellfire will be the women folk. So they should be even more worried than the men. That we find these strong, harsh ahadith speaking about the inhabitants of the hellfire. And likewise in today's hadith that we find a severe warning that we find. Sinfani min ahli nari lam arahuma. Two types of individuals of the hellfire. Two categories. I've never seen these two types of individuals ever before. Qawmun ma'am siyatun ka'adhnab al-baqar. A group of people who will have whips like the tails of cows or tails of animals. يَدْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. They're going to be flogging and whipping and harming people by these whips that they'll be carrying inside their hands. وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ مُمِيلَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ. Women will be dressed but yet naked, who will be walking in a tempestuous manner. رُؤُوسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنَامٍ بُخْتٍ مَائِلَةٌ. Their heads will be like a camel's hump leaning towards one side. لا يدخل الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها. They're never going to enter paradise and they're never going to smell the fragrance of paradise. وإن ريحها ليوجد من مسيرة كذا وكذا. And even though the fragrance of paradise can be smelled from such and such a distance. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث inside the Sahih of Imam Muslim. That's the disciple, go and read Sahih Muslim's Kitab al-Jannah wa sifatu na'imiha wa ahliha. The book of Jannah, the inhabitants of Jannah, and the bliss of the people of Jannah. And likewise there you find the opposite, the people of Jahannam, and their traits and their characteristics. Study it to understand that whether we're going to be people, how we become people of Jannah, and may Allah forbid how we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue us from not becoming the people of Jahannam, the people of the hellfire. Sinfani min ahli nari lam arahuma. Two types of individuals I've never seen before. Because in general the Quran and Sunnah describes sinners. It describes punishment. It talks about people, talks about their actions that they do. And we visualize certain people on the face of this earth that these are the actions, evil actions. But these two types of individuals, the Prophet ﷺ has never seen them before. They don't exist in his time, this descriptive nature of who these people are. This is a prophecy. This is amongst what's classified as Ashratu Sa'a, the 80 or 90 odd signs, minor signs of the Day of Judgment. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. In the beginning of Surah An-Najm that we find, the 53rd chapter of the Quran. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak of his own desires. Whatever he speaks is divine intervention, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a previous ahadith we mentioned at the beginning, women folk shouldn't take it personally. Because these are divine words of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And here we need to pause and reflect about the role of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And I hate to go to a tangent, but because these days are classified as Miladun Nabi, days of celebrating the birthday of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. What does it mean, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى? What does it mean, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Surah Al-Hashr 59, chapter verse number 7. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ Whatever the messenger tells you to take, take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. 36, 37 times inside the Quran, Allah mentions قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. And very different derivatives inside the Quran. Obey Allah, obey the messenger. This one occasion in Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentions, whoever obeys the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ, has been turned around. Allah doesn't mention, obey me first. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ. Whoever obeys the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ, has obeyed Allah. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَسَانِي فَقَدْ دَخَلَ النَّارِ أو كَمَا قَالَ كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ يَأْبَى. All of my ummah will enter into Jannah except for whoever refuses. Is there any Muslim who refuses to go to Jannah? There isn't. The Prophet ﷺ, he answers himself and says, who is that individual? Whoever obeys me goes to paradise. Whoever disobeys me travels closer to the hellfire. Thus we find today's climate. People of Sunnah are classified as people of Bid'ah. People of Bid'ah are classified as people of Sunnah. The answer is so simple. Look at the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't look 6 centuries on. Don't look at other personalities, individuals. Look at Qurunul Mufaddala. Look at the first 3 generations. Look at them and look at their practice. Maybe a person could find certain hidden verses or certain interpretations that certain ahadith try to interpret them to suit their creed and their belief. Let's take a step beyond that. Let's look at the life of Abu Bakr, of Umar, of Uthman, of Ali, Jami'u al-Sahaba. Look at the life of all of the Sahaba. Do you find any single one of them falling or failing in their love for the Prophet ﷺ? Maybe you try to use the excuse that they were busy with the Khilafah, with the empire around them, busy with that. So they were so busy that they forgot their love and their devotion on this pinnacle day. How could they forget it? How could they let it go past? How could it be so trivial for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that when he went to see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that you talk emotionally about love towards him? How beautiful you was when you was living. How beautiful you are when you left this world. When he uncovered the beautiful face of the Prophet ﷺ, and he kissed him on his forehead. People of Sunnah spend their lives. That's the asal of adorning himself with the Sunnah. That is a symbol of people of Sunnah. الَّذِينَ يُطَبِّقُونَ السُنَّةِ وَيُحِبُّونَ السُنَّةِ. Those who implement the Sunnah, those who love the Sunnah, those who teach the Sunnah, those who adorn themselves to the Sunnah, those who spend their life studying the Sunnah. That's what the role of people of Sunnah is. Imam Suyuti's works of Al-Kubra that we find, speaking all about Sifat al-Rasul alayhi salam in 2 volumes. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah's 2 volumes, just talking about what is Sifat al-Salam or Salam ala Rasul alayhi salam to Salam. Qadi al-Iyad, al-Shifa fi ta'rif al-Hukuk al-Mustafa, these are all voluminous works that we study through our lives. That people say that we are people of bid'ah. We don't love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We have no emotional feeling towards him. Life of a Sunni is spent not celebrating one day, is spent every day celebrating, glorifying, honoring, remembering. The closest people to the Prophet are those who send as salah wa salam alayhi. Who remember it. We believe that it takes away poverty, takes away hardships. Companion came and said to the Prophet alayhi salam, come in salati, how much of my prayer? Come in du'ai, how much of my du'a should I dedicate towards you? Al-thuluth, al-rub, a-fourth, a-third, a-nisf, half. Kullu salat, all my du'a, all my prayer to the Prophet alayhi salam. Even that's not sufficient. Even that isn't sufficient. So we believe in all these narrations. We believe in all of them. And we love him as much as you love him. But a fine line is we don't go over that line. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he highlighted himself, there's going to be people who are going to extol me. who are going to literally going to begin to worship me. This isn't speaking about non-Muslims. This is speaking about Muslims who are going to worship the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going to worship him. And that's the Abu Bakr Siddiq he mentioned, "Man kana ya'bud Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. Wa man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Now, won't you take offense that people, they get offensive. You're saying the Prophet ﷺ is dead. We're just using the words of the Quran. The Quran says, "Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun." Quran says, "Innaka mayyit." Khitab liman. Who is the Quran speaking to? Quran is speaking directly to the Prophet ﷺ. "Innaka." It's not speaking about kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut. Every soul will taste death or everybody will die. The Quran is accurate. Quran says directly, "Innaka, you are going to die. You have to leave this dunya." As for how he's living in the hereafter, that's not our discussion at this moment in time. Our discussion at this moment, he's left this dunya. So how do we revive his sunnah? How do we revive his life? How do we live his life? But just by living one joyous occasion, one day that we celebrate, and then we make that the benchmark, because they've made it the benchmark. Whoever doesn't celebrate that day is no longer a real believer. We don't believe that. If you want to celebrate, that's up to you, even though we classify it as an innovation. But if you feel that's some way of proximity and closeness, then celebrate that. But what do you learn from it? What do you change inside your life? How do you come closer to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? These are all prophecies that he prophesied, that people will drift away from his sunnah. And as he said about them, suhkan, suhkan, be off, be away. You don't know what these people done after you, is what Jibreel will say directly to the Prophet ﷺ. If you speak about people of sunnah, he's going to say to people of sunnah, be off. People who collected a hadith, pick up any book of hadith. Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. Any book of hadith, pick it up. You don't find any chapter heading saying, celebrate his birthday. Celebrate his birthday. This is what you need to do to symbolize your love for the Prophet ﷺ. فَأَيْحَا, this is a tangent that we need to awaken ourselves, because the community around us, they thrive upon this, and they want to throw slurs on other people who don't practice this practice and diminish their love and say these people have no love and no honor and dignity towards the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. We find قَوْمٌ مَعُمْ سِيَابٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقْرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. People are going to have whips inside their hands like the tails of oxes or cows that we find with flogging people. Ulama hadith have mentioned this refers to oppressors. Oppressive people flogging their subjects. Persecutors, we can see that today. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi mentions, al-udwan al-nasi bighayri al-haq. To be oppressive upon people for no justification. Shurat al-dhulma, al-dhulama. Police escorts. Oppressive police escorts, oppressive people of protection who are going to flog, harm people, torture people without any justification. But that's not the main discussion that we're going to focus upon. It's the second part of the hadith whereby he mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam, wa nisa'un kasiyatun ariyatun. Women who are dressed but yet naked. Obviously he's referring that we can see the community around us, non-Muslims, but we want to focus upon Muslims. Women who are wearing hijab but not really wearing hijab. Women who are dressed but not really dressed, as according to the teaching of the Sharia. See-through visual garments. Tight-fitting hijabs that we find. Revealing clothing and materials that we find. The ulama mentioned, لَا تُعَدِّي وَظِيفَةَ السَّتَرِ. It doesn't comply with the regulations of covering your awrah. Dress is there, it's designed for a person to cover their aura. Certain restrictions, certain etiquettes for both men and women, they follow inside their life. It doesn't even fulfill that anymore. That we begin to find. And thus we find Imam Nawawi centuries ago explained this hadith he mentions. Al-ariyat kasiyat, a woman who's dressed but yet naked that we find, once she's showing her body. Remember, this is written centuries ago. So imagine in today's time. He says also tightening and wrapping her garments around her, so her body begins to expose, or her bodily parts or organs are displayed, become visible because of the way that she's dressed or she's displaying herself. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions about this hadith in a fatwa al-sawtiyya, in a verbal fatwa that he gives in like a document in his fatwa. He says that this ariyat kasiyat means a woman wearing short clothing, not dressed appropriately, that her legs, her arms, her body is showing. Or likewise, it means that she's wearing clothing which is like clothing, you find it, you can see through her clothing. Her body becomes visible of this individual. And the sad fact is that some of these women, amongst our old Muslim sisters that we find, they think that these fashions make them appear civilized. This is a symbol of being modern, being sophisticated. That I dress it in this manner, it makes me sophisticated, makes me look like I'm an educated individual. This is far from education of the Quran and Sunnah that we find, because clothing has become, unfortunately, a means of decoration rather than a means of covering oneself, rather it becomes exposing one's modesty inside society that we find. And thus we find it's a strange society. People who dress, they're frowned upon. A woman who dresses appropriately inside society, the Western world frowns upon it. They frown upon it. A woman who exposes her beauty, exposes herself, this is a good woman inside society. This is a strange times that we live in. Strange times, women who dress appropriately are looked down upon. And even inside, unfortunately, may Allah forbid, among some of us Muslims, we frown and we look at people. First we frown and look at, down upon religious people, religious clerics, who dress in a certain way. We look down upon them, the way that they dress. They're only adorning themselves as close as possible to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we find looking rudimentary remarks towards the women folk. And look at these backward individuals. Medieval practice, look how they dress. These are not words from non-Muslims. These are words from Muslims who make these derogatory remarks about other Muslims, about the way that they dress. And thus we find if we go back to basics, go back to the Quran, go to Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th chapter of the Quran, the beginning from verse 20 onwards to 26 onwards that we find. Allah mentions, سَوْآتِهِمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا سَوْآتِكُمْ سَوْآتِهِمَا, four different times, speaking about their modesty, speaking about their private parts, speaking about adorning themselves. Four times Allah mentions this word. Remember, as a side point, Surah Al-A'raf is a discussion about people of hellfire and people of paradise. That's what Surah Al-A'raf in general, the theme is there. Allah mentioned speaking to Adam alayhi salam, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ. O Adam, we set down upon you the clothing, a clothing that should cover your modesty, cover your private parts. وَرِيشًا. And this becomes a form of adornment upon you. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. You know, garments is good to dress well. But look at the inner message of the Quran. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. The inner garment of piety, of devotion, of commitment. Throughout the Quran, Allah uses this subhanahu wa ta'ala. That consciousness is within the heart. When your heart is corrupt, then you find that people will dress in this manner. But when the heart is sound, it's yearning to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions that Surah Al-Baqarah. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take your zad, take your provision, take your money, take your property, take whatever you need to go to Hajj. But Allah mentions, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best zad, the best provision you take is what? Consciousness. You need the world around you, but the real inner thing that Allah wants from you is consciousness. And again inside Surah Al-Hajj, Allah mentions the 22nd chapter of the Quran. It's not the blood and the sacrifice that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُوا التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But it's the consciousness, the inner consciousness inside your heart of devotion that travels up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. This is amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may begin to point and reflect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Ya Bani Adam, لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Don't let shaitan become a trial for you, a test for your fitna for you. Just like he expelled Your parents from Jannah, ينزل عنهما لباسهما. He made them take off their garments, reveal their ornaments, ليريهما سوآتهما, to begin to expose their private parts. إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم. Indeed, he sees you from where you do not see him. Him and his qabil, his tribe, his soldiers, his army, his comrades. All day long, that's all that they do. Attack after attack upon the Muslim. That's what they do. Breaking the individual down, every single day attacking the individual. Quran says that. Television Quran mentions, إِنَّ جَعْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We made shayateen, devils, to be friends of whom? Those who don't believe. Those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become the allies of the devil. Then we find, وَإِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. When they do some fahisha, some illicit bad practice, ulama tafsir mentioned fahisha when it carries a meaning, they used to offer tawaf around the Kaaba in a state of nudity. When they used to do that, they used to say, this is what our forefathers used to do. Our forefathers carry out this practice. What's wrong with it? Allah responds by mentioning, Wallahu amarana bihada. They say, Allah amarana bihada. Allah commanded us to do this. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah never commands fawahish. Allah never commands people to do immoral actions. Bad actions, immorality, lewdness, wickedness. Allah never commands that. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You speak about Allah that which you don't know. And the discussion continues about dress and about etiquette that we find till eventually that Allah once again mentions, وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Allah has forbidden every form of fawahish. Illicit conduct, behavior. Whatever is apparent and whatever is hidden. So the key message of these ayat is to remove our clothing, to remove our modesty, is the key message of these verses that we find. What is the clothing? What is the hijab of a man? What is the hijab of a woman? What does the Sharia teach us? How a man should dress and how a woman should dress that we find. The hijab is not just a head cover, as some of us that we may think, rather encompasses a woman's entire body. It encompasses her conduct in public and how she behaves in front of men. That's min ma'ani of hijab. Excuse expression, it's not just a cloth. It's not just material. For God mentioned, it encompasses her complete conduct in front of strange men. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. Read the tafsir of this verse. Surah Al-Qasas, 28th chapter of the Quran. فَجَاءَتْهُ, one of them came to him. Came to whom? We're going to discuss who that individual is. عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءٍ. أَمَّا قِيلَ. She came in a state of modesty, full of bashfulness and shyness, or she walked in a state of modesty. Read the tafsir of Imam Suyuti Durr al-Manthur, how he describes these verses. The most accurate statement being that these are the two daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salam. They came in a state of, even studied the Quran, how the women folk were at that time. Ibrahim alayhi salam, you find his wife, فَسَقَتْ وَجْعَهَا, she covered her face. When strange people, the angels came, she covered her face. She enshrouded herself. This woman, فَجَاءَتْهُ, she came to him. Who did she come to? She came to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. And Musa alayhi salam is equally a modest individual. He's also a modest individual. Musa alayhi salam had such a beautiful physique, a beautiful body. He never displayed it in public. He never showed it to the people. That Muslim men, that they think that the aura is limited to a certain element that we find. Musa alayhi salam was full of shyness. When he would bathe, he would cover himself, go in secrecy and bathe. So Bani Israel began to spread rumors there's something wrong about his manhood. He's deficient. Because he doesn't bathe like us in the open. And that's when people say, is there anything wrong with going to swimming pools where there's mixing of genders and mix or just men being there? If they don't dress appropriately, la yajuz. It's laqn. It's not allowed. Oh, but it's keeping fit, it's doing its la. We follow the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't follow the traits and characteristics of people around us. Musa alayhi salam, the defense of it is inside the Quran. Read Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, the end. Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la takunu kalladhina adhaw Musa fabarra Allah mimma qalu wa kana 'inda Allah wajiha. Don't become like those individuals who harmed Musa alayhi salam, who placed his blame upon him, and Allah took away that blame when they saw his physical body. But we want to extract here, good men are for good women. Surah An-Nur. At-tayyibun lit-tayyibat. Good men are for good women. Good women are for good men. A person lives a good up life, a good life. And what this life, Allah will bless that individual. Not that we become immoral individuals or we think that why are people practicing, why shouldn't we practice as well? This is not the benchmark for a Muslim. The benchmark is to be full of morality that we find. And likewise the guidelines that we find. The hijab of today, that we find the fashions of today. This is not hijab. Hijab tutorials placed all across YouTube that we find. This is not hijab. We find that it's just a start. Time and time again we find that this is just a start. These individuals find a midway solution to please their Lord. Read the tafsir of the verses. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. In Surah An-Nur that we find, 24th chapter of Quran, verse number 31. Read the tafsir. If you don't want to believe us, read the tafsir of these verses. How ulama have dissected that this is the dress code of a woman folk. In a nutshell, that we find the clothing, as you mentioned, should reflect taqwa. The clothes should cover the whole body. As for that difference of opinion that people try to hide behind, that some folk have allowed the display of one's hands and one's face, let us even accept that and look deep into it, what these fuqaha have mentioned. Or these women folk who say that they follow Islam, not to denounce the Islam, but whichever Imam you follow inside your life. You follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad. You follow any one of these four Imams. Go and study their books and look at their conclusion. What is the dress code of a woman? We find those who've allowed the deliverance of the face and the hands. They mention that if the hands, there's beauty inside the hands, there's beauty inside the face. These are those who have allowed for a woman to reveal her hands, reveal her face. Then what should she do? She should cover her face and her hands. These same folk I've mentioned who've allowed it said, if she comes out in public, and she beautifies her face. In today's words, she places makeup on her face. She places beauty in her hands. Displays her ornaments. Beautifies herself. Then she should cover her hands and her face. Those fuqaha who've allowed her to reveal her face and her hands. Then these fuqaha go a step further. They say that if the people inside society who don't lower their gaze, the men don't lower their gaze, they don't show etiquette when they speak to a person of the opposite gender, they don't lower their gaze, they don't discuss appropriately, then once again, what should they do? It is awla lahunna, it's better for them and preferential for them that they should cover their face and cover their hands. Those are those fuqaha who've allowed revealing the hands and the face. We find amongst the conditions that we find that hijab should not be a display in itself. It is illogical for the hijab to be worn by a Muslim woman and is a source of allure, meaning that bright colours or attractive designs are placed upon this outer garment. It beats the objective of actually wearing the hijab that we find. Likewise, the hijab must not be opaque, must not be transparent, must not be see-through, that person can see through the dress sense of the woman that we find. And likewise, the hijab of a woman should be flowing, should be roomy, should not be tight. That's what Fokar mentioned. It shouldn't be a tight-fitting clothing that she wears and classifies that this is some element of hijab that she's wearing. The hijab should be free from any fragrance, from any smell, from any perfume. And likewise, any display of beauty, hidden beauty, a woman should avoid that. If she does wear nail polish, or she wears henna, or she wears certain clothing, it should be concealed. And likewise, high heel garments that we find, a woman should avoid that in a public domain. Because it leads to the following part of the hadith, mumilatun ma'ilatun, which literally ulama have described as a woman who's swaying, a woman who's temptress. She tempts other individuals and she leads individuals away. Other ulama mentioned ma'ilatun, mumilat carries the meaning of a woman who is ghafila, a woman who's heedless, away from the ta'a of Allah, away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doesn't guard her chastity. That's one literal meaning. But the other meaning is more closer, a woman that when she walks in a temptuous manner, in a flirtatious manner, in attracting the people to look at her, to glance at her. So she's misguided and she begins to misguide other individuals as well. رُؤُسُهُنَّ أَسْتِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ A prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, he couldn't visualize it at that time. Women will have humps, like the hump of a camel on their heads. And some of the ulama explains hadith, mentioned this is al-Ibn al-Khurasani. And then you find a camel in a certain district area that we find that the hump of it sways. So these camel hump style hair fashions that we find coming from the 60s onwards, that we find that they'll be carrying this type of dress sense on his hair, that they'll be displaying. This is prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. What is the end result? It's not a trivial matter that some people that they may think. The end part of the hadith, it mentions, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يَجِدْنَ رِيحَهَا. They're not going to enter paradise, and they're not going to smell the fragrance of paradise. وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَيُوجَدُ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Even a smell of paradise can be smelled from such and such a distance. We shouldn't now go enter our homes and go into a frenzy towards our family folk and our loved ones, and say that this is what the sermon was all about. A person should be a person full of tarbiyah, of teaching, of love and affection, and highlighting to their family members that obviously it's a harsh matter, it's a severe matter, our love and our devotion. To remind you, it's not obedience towards the husband. It's not obedience to the husband, that comes at a later stage. Huwa ta'atullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obedience of Allah. That's what it is. You know, you don't have to obey us. You don't have to be obedient to us clerics. You don't have to respond to us. Your response is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our task is just to deliver the message, to encourage people, to remind people. And that's all that the Prophet, he reminded people around him. He showed that love and affection. And likewise, we find to obedience to Allah via authentic sources, not what the media around, the people around us are teaching. This is the hijab of the woman. This is not the hijab of the woman. This is not the dress code of the woman. This is not the etiquette of the woman. Go to authentic sources to learn that what is the dress sense of the woman. As we mentioned, look at those ayat inside Surah An-Nur, 24th chapter of Quran. Look at the ayat inside Surah Al-Ahzab, speaking what are the etiquettes and what is the dress sense. And likewise that we find, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. You know, women folk may say that it's the heat and it's too difficult to wear hijab in the environment around us. Quran mentioned, say the fire of Jahannam is far more severe. Far more severe is the fire of Jahannam. If only you could comprehend that. And as we began with, unfortunately, we mentioned many of the inhabitants of the hellfire will be women. And likewise, they find, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. You know, this world is full of play and amusement, and enjoy yourself. Your only young ones, show your beauty at a later stage inside your life. Then adorn, cover yourself. But enjoy your life. Quran is already mentioned that the woman is placed in a form of hilya, of beauty, likes adornment, likes these things. It's a norm of the woman. She has to follow the legislation just like we men have to follow the legislation. A young individual, شَابٌ نَشْأَ فِي تَعْبِ اللَّهِ. Young individual, doesn't just mean a young boy, a young woman who grows up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there is no shade. So let them laugh, فَلْيَلْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا. Let them laugh, let people enjoy it today, because it's only a small laugh. وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. And let them weep immensely a lot on the final day. mean, that's what this world is, enjoyment. Let people enjoy themselves now. As many times we mentioned, how long is life? How long is life of the individual? It's only a short life. That's why we began with read Kitab al-Jannah Sifatu Na'imah inside Imam Sahih Muslim. Read that book to see that the my end of my life, if I go through this life and I'm successful, remember this. Inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah will never ever go against His promise. Never ever. Never ever will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord will never oppress His servants. Never ever. Those who follow His path, Allah will deliver them, give them success inside the Akhirah. And as we began with, those of us who recognize our sins and our mistakes and our discrepancies, make istighfar, make tawbah. Allah will see that. Allah will recognize that. And as you find, it is the end of the individual that counts. Husnul khatima. Person should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that deliver me at the end of my life, or whenever is the end of my life, in a state of obedience, in a state of me adorning myself to be as close as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasir, and the secrecy of that is ya ayyul ikhwa. Fisirri, in secrecy, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In secrecy, design inside your lives moments in your day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Tajlis bi wahdika, sit all on your own. Wa tabki ala ma fataka. Weep about what you missed. Weep about it. Just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll be delivered every single day. And you'll be delivered on the final day when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah wants to see which of His servants are those who remember me, abundant me, often me, who weep to me, who call upon me. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي. Your Lord said, call upon me. Allah said, whoever you are, you live the life of sin, of ma'asi, of dhunub, of shurb al-khamr, akl al-mukhaddarat, drinking alcohol, taking drugs, zina, al-liwa, fornication, adultery, haram, bad life, disobedience, not praying, not fasting, whatever it may be. But you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astajib lakum, I'll respond to you. And likewise, in conclusion, that we mentioned one of the greatest ayahs inside the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah is close. We don't need any individual. We don't need any individual. You only need whom? You need Allah. You need Allah with you. We need Allah, that's what we need. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those who commit any fahisha, when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُسِرُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. Those who, when they do a bad sin, they carry out wrong things, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they seek repentance and they never remain upon that path. They return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.